to another episode of the Paranormal Rabbit Hole, boys and girls. I'm your host, Hunter, here again to help you dive down that rabbit hole and start learning some stuff about the good old paranormal world that we live in. I mean, honestly, this is what this whole show is about. Whole shebang is about just, you know, kind of getting you informed on the paranormal world that we have in front of us, and of course, the best topics, the funnest topics, and today is no different, so I want to jump right into it. I don't want to take too long, I don't want to do a preamble, but you're going to get one. You're going to get one. And that preamble, as always, is we're on Instagram, and it's always the Paranormal Rabbit Hole Podcast. Can't miss it because you type that in. That's the whole thing. Paranormal Rabbit Hole Podcast, no spaces, all one word, so it looks like a terrible run-on sentence gone awry with no spaces. Anyways, type that in, follow us there. We post about the shows. Right now, I'm not going to lie, the posting for Instagram is going to take a backseat to trying to find a new recording program. So, you know, that's what I've been spending most of my spare time on, except for last week when I had to go crazy and then get my finger smashed. So that's fun. Yeah. Yep. Smashed my finger. Love that. And ripped some skin off of my finger. I mean, nothing that I needed to go to a hospital for. It bled for maybe a minute. But yeah, that is fun. So, got my bag of ice on my wounded finger, my damaged finger, just kind of, it sucks. It sucks. Imagine the only hand that you write with and the best finger on your hand, the middle finger, and you get it smashed between a fence and a propane tank. So yeah, I mean, just not, it wasn't good. It's bad. So, I mean, not bad, but it wasn't good. It felt horrible, but, I'm here this week. Last week, not so much, but this week I'm here. And this week we're talking about something awesome. Now, when I was a kid, I had heard this word before, tulpa. I knew that word. Now, what we're going to talk about today and what I'm about to mention are two different things. Most guys my age that are in their mid to late 30s know the name tulpa from a TV show. And that TV show is, it's a Japanese anime called Samurai Trooper, but it was brought over to America as Ronin Warriors. The name is just barely any different. Barely any different in reality. So, you know, they just kind of classed it up in America, apparently, because it's Samurai Troopers in Japan. But, you know, it's these five guys that have armor, and they call upon their armor, and they have weird names, and their armor has names. The bad guys have armor that has names. They have, I mean, it was a guy with a Kusarigama was one of the bad guys, and his name was Warlord Anubis. He was the Warlord of Shadow. Or no, he wasn't the Warlord. Yeah, who was the Warlord of Shadow? Because it was a loot. Anyways, we're not going to get into a whole episode about Ronin Warriors. I could do that. Trust me. I could do that quite easily. But the bad guy's name is why we're referencing. Because the bad guy's name was Tulpa. He was this free-floating samurai mask and helmet that was the leader of the Dark Warlords. And he was trying to take over the earth and open a gate so that he could come back through and retake the earth as his own. That's what he was doing. You know, that's what he was up to. Turns out, not the first time that name was ever given out. Tulpa is what we're going to talk about today. Not the warlord, or not the dark warlord, or emperor of darkness, not him, but the thought form. So, stick with me if you will, but tulpa is kind of familiar to the world. I'm just going to bring up this because it's an easier path to go down to start this off. I'm going to bring up a movie. So buckle up, boys and girls, because I'm going to bring up a movie called Sphere. Now, in the movie Sphere, there is they're laying cable like to do something, and blah blah blah. They find an alien spacecraft, and they have to have a team go down, and it's a psychiatrist, and there's a contingency for first contact with an alien life form. And this is just the same as in real life. There is a contingency. The president has a list made of people that they, a psychiatrist, mathematician, chaos theory, you know, all these different types of scientists that he has to handpick them. And in the movie, they do that. They use that list, and it's Dustin Hoffman, and it's a great book, better book, but it's a good movie. And most people are probably going to know the movie over the Michael Crichton book, to be honest. Great book, though. There's a whole thing. Great book, though. Amazing book. But they go into this ship and they find this, golden sphere. It's perfectly round, gold, and reflects everything except for them. Now, in the movie, they kind of have a better way of showing that they went into the sphere, and that is that they would look at it and they would see themselves, and then their body would shoot up the sphere and kind of disappear into the top, which means that they went inside, and now they're expanding their minds and learning what they need to learn from this alien life form. I'm not going to give away the whole of the book, but throughout the book, they start realizing that they are creating things from thought, like deep thought, subconscious, almost id thought, almost id, not fully id, but almost, but subconscious, like, you know, but it works about the id, kind of like Forbidden Planet. Forbidden Planet's a great example of a tulpa or a thought form. This guy went in, got his brain scanned, and now his mind was creating a creature that, you know, killed his family and all that and yada, yada, yada. So that's what we're going to talk about, thought forms. So the concept of tulpas are Buddhist in originality. Translated in Tibetan, the earth bodies that Buddha manifests in order to teach those who have not attained nirvana. It was basically, you know, a thought form. You know, he gives you this thought form. So basically, the whole concept centers on people believing in a imaginary friend, or in our next episode, the reason I'm doing this episode is because the next episode is pretty much about this, about a time when somebody did this. So it's an imaginary friend. Think, if you will, you know, your imaginary friend. Now think if you willed them into existence with thought, or if enough people believe in it, kind of like there are some forms of this in the form of like paranormal entities like the Rake and Slender Man. They were created, but if enough people believe, they start to become real, kind of a thing, that kind of a thing. So fully Tibetan, tulpas are when people close their eyes, open their minds, and start creating an imaginary friend. But in real life, you control the specifications of how this creature looks, it acts, its personality. And it's really amazing. So it was practiced in spiritualism in Tibet. They have a, like, let me get into these notes. I'm influenced by depictions in television and cinema from the 1990s to 2000s. The term tulpa started to be used as the kind of imaginary friend thing. But they have tulpamancers. So basically, these people believe that they can create a tulpa, an imaginary friend, and it will respond to them, it can answer, and it's going to give them, you know, some kind of fulfillment in life of having a companion or a friend. And they practice this right now. So there are people that believe. Now, I'm not going to say I'm not, I mean, I'm trying to pick my words carefully so it doesn't sound like I'm picking on a sect of people that do this, but I'm going to go back in time a little bit, but I'm still going to right now. There are people that have attempted to create characters from My Little Pony and stuff like that, but they all revolve around going into your mind and having that first off, that mode of thought for imaginary friends. That subconscious thought that puts you in that, I don't want to say childlike, but it does, it is for a more immature person. It is not for people who consider themselves mature. So you go into a childlike state of imagination, but your imagination is so strong and you're trying to will it so strong that you create a being like South Park did the Imagination Land episode, kind of like that. You create Santa Claus, like Santa Claus is real because enough kids believe in Santa Claus, you know? So there's that. You will Santa Claus into existence by believing so much in him. Now, I mean, in this case, this is a reverse. Santa Claus was a real person. So, you know, there you go. You don't have to will somebody that's a real person into existence. But it's something like that. So a lot of people that can supposedly create Tulpa are a lot of people with like ADD and ADHD somewhere on the spectrum. It's easier and higher for those people to be a Tulpamancer and to create something. But there's an especially weird and crazy event that we're going to talk about next week. And that is that this is really interesting. So if you want to go ahead and look it up even, but next week we're going to be talking about the Philip experiment and it deals with this. Now, I want to go back. And like I said, we're going to go back in time, to a previous episode when I covered the fish a couple weeks back, the bathysphere episode. If you think about it, if you're down in a metal tube with nothing but your thoughts, your mind can run wild, and especially if you're down in the bottom of the pitch black abyss of the ocean in a metal tube with nothing but a small light on there. Perhaps some of the fish that were seen, I'm not saying that all of them, like Deep Star and the Cleary fish, because that was in Japan in the 90s. But, you know, the Bathysphera ones, what if he was down there by himself and was hallucinating, but his hallucinations became so vivid that they were real and had created a fish, a tulpa of a fish? Like, he was believing that he was starting to see some strange, unusual fish, but maybe he was seeing nothing until, I mean, if you've got to think that if you're down there by yourself in the middle of the ocean, in the pitch black abyss, your mind is going to race and run wild. And we have this train of thought on, I'm going to go off on another thing here too, and it's a tangent that fits in with it, on some poltergeists that poltergeists are created. You know, one thought is that, you know, young women who are going through certain times in their life and teenage year, like in a certain emotional trauma in their certain times of life in teenage and early 20s, that they can create because they have such a high energy and psycho energy in there, that because the emotion and something, there's just a ton of different thought process on that. I don't know. I personally think that a poltergeist could be a mental thing where it's somebody projecting energy into a thing, which would be a thought form, kind of. But that's more of an energy projection, but an energy projection form, like a negative energy projection form even. But they cause problems around the house, right? You know, poltergeists always have caused issues around the house. They're always messing things up, taking things, moving chairs, waking everybody up, scratching people. So if poltergeists are a thought form, then technically that proves tulpamancy and thought form are real. And even some psychiatrists and some people in the medical field are starting to accept that poltergeist activity could be mental, kind of almost mental telepathy or mental thought projection. And there's a few, not, it's not widely accepted at all, but a few are. And so, you know, poltergeists are, can that kind of paranormal activity could be easily explained, but that opens up a whole new avenue if that's true. Because that means that humans do have the mental capacity to physically manipulate things with their mind. So there's something else. And they can create thought forms with their mind. So there's that opens up a whole new doorway of brain activity, beta waves, theta waves, and all those different things that go on up here in our noodles. That opens up a whole new avenue for that stuff as well. So if you think about it, it seems like it's becoming a little bit clearer. That old Tibetan belief and, you know, the Philip experiment and all those things that dealt with Tulpa may be onto something about humans and our mental capacity and anatomy that we are not yet reaching. Some kind of mental goal that we are capable of getting to, but clumsily stumble into, like the America's Greatest Hero guy with the red suit, you know, believe it or not, I'm walking, that guy. He kind of stumbles into his hero powers after picking up that suit and, you know, kind of idiotically finds out how to use them and work them. That guy, it's kind of like, it's almost like that. You know, if you think about it, it's stumbling, like it's failing upwards mentally, you know, with telepathy. You just kind of accidentally fall backwards into the fact that you can do this with your mind. And I mean, if that's so though, then I truly welcome that discovery, because that means that we are capable of so much more. And that means we can do a lot more. And we could probably manipulate our own cells and our own bodies. So, you know, a whole bunch of other doors open up there. Regeneration, which would suck because, you know, I think we get old for a reason. So we don't have to put up with shit anymore. You know, it's like, now I know why old people that haven't died yet want to die. Because have you ever met those kind of people, the ones that are just like, I'm fucking 99, why hasn't God taken me yet? The ones that are ready to go, then they're like, I'm done with this bullshit, I'm done with all the garbage that's going on this planet. There's the everybody's crazy, I'm old, I'm not crazy, they're crazy, that kind of thing. I've met, oh God, it's so sad. It sucks. That sucks so bad that they're just the ones that are ready. Like, why am I still here? Why am I here? I'm still here. It would suck to wake up in the morning and go, damn it. Think about it. Jeez. Anyways. But I mean, that means that it opens up so many more avenues. And that means that we as humans have not even tapped. And we know this, though. We know this. We haven't even tapped our full potential that we are completely capable of right now. It's like watching, when we were kids, watching video game systems and going, man, the graphics one day are going to be so good when we're old people. And we got to see that automatically get better and better over time. We have watched from Commodore 64 to Nintendo 64, to Xbox X and PlayStation router, you know, and we've watched the graphics go from weird digital bits and little cubes and polygons to clean lines and ray tracing and just beautiful, beautiful all around gorgeous graphics that are almost real. So it's like that. It's like we're computers that are just still trying to update and unlock all the things that we can do, which is, you know, fascinating to say the least. But anyways, that's it for the episode, boys and girls. Next week, we're going to cover the Philip experiment. So if you want to update yourself on that and go ahead and get a little leg up research, I suggest it because it's a fascinating story. Now, it's a long story, so we're going to probably make that into a Friday episode. But we're going to try to get it to you on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, as we usually do. But other than that, sorry for the hiatus, and I will be back next week, boys and girls. Have a great weekend, and as always, Thank you for going down the paranormal rabbit hole. Wait, stop. Wait, we didn't do this. Boys and girls, it's the end of the episode. Why don't you scroll on down to the bottom of that page, hit that 5-star button, walk away just like we're about to do right now. And thank you for going down this paranormal rabbit hole with me. Have a great night.